You're listening to the podcast with a K. Wrong tune. You're listening to the podcast with a K. I'm Christian Corley, and as you can probably tell from the complete lack of reaction to that faux pas, I'm hosting the show alone this week. The reason for that will become apparent in due course. Brian and James will no doubt turn up on the podcast with a K in future episodes, not too far away from here. Now, this week, I am going to be talking to Gareth Cavanagh. He's back. And frankly, it is about time because he's been a very, very busy man with Cutaway Comics. He has overseen, I think is the best word, production of a new range of comics from the wider Doctor Who universe. Two in particular, Omega and Eldrad, have been announced, and Lytton is a previous one. Now, these names will mean a lot to you as Doctor Who fans, particularly if you're classic Doctor Who fans. Interesting things, finding new lives and integrating in completely new ways. This isn't new in Doctor Who, of course. It happened in the comics in Doctor Who magazine. It happened in the New Adventures. Both of these things mainly happening when Doctor Who was off air throughout most of the 1990s and early 2000s. Doctor Who isn't off air right now, so I think that's probably something that we will be looking at later on with Gareth. There's lots of nice things to talk about. There's probably something that isn't so nice to talk about, and that is a rumour that Doctor Who faces the axe at the BBC. Now, this is a rumour that appears to owe its complete existence to a YouTuber. There doesn't seem to be anything backing this up. The podcast with the K team isn't quite as in touch with things Doctor Who production-wise as we once were. Somewhat ironic, given that I live in the Northeast and my wife's family are from South Yorkshire, and there's a lot of Doctor Who going on in South Yorkshire from time to time, but that's another matter. The fact is, there is a story going around that Doctor Who is facing the axe. We think, given how long Jodie has been the Doctor, that this is not so much Doctor Who facing the axe as Doctor Who facing a new phase. Jodie's about to do her third run as the Doctor. She's probably hanging up her sonic. So that's the thing that's going on at the moment. So we would say, I say we, there's just me and Gerald Slitheen here at the moment. So I would say, take it with a pinch of salt. Moving on now, and it seems that fans have been calling for Netflix to produce a new season of Torchwood. This came along as a bit of a surprise to us, it must be said. It was shared by the Doctor Who page on Facebook. And, you know, on the face of it, you know, there is quite a good argument in favour of this. After all, Torchwood was popular. But could they pull it off? John Barrowman would no doubt be associated with it. Eve Miles potentially as well. But who else? It's very much cast my mind back to the 1990s when there was this idea of bringing back Blake 7. Torchwood's been off air for a long time now. So reviving it, while not impossible, Netflix might be interested. You don't know. I don't know. We don't know. It doesn't seem as though the Torchwood that we knew and that we know and love, or know and hate, or have a love-hate relationship with, whatever comes along probably wouldn't be that. Then again, it might be. It might be worse / better. I've shared this on Facebook with the Facebook followers of the Castorbris Doctor Who podcast page, which I'll link to in the show notes. We've got a nice selection of comments. Lewis David Blaney says, yes, great idea. Paul G, no, I'd rather see Doctor Who come under the Netflix or perhaps K9 and Company. Shane Gaffney, yes. Alan Stevens, no, the show was mainly awful. Jeff Waddell, do it if they want. I wouldn't pay for Netflix, so not fussed. Fair comment. Nick Caulfield, thought about this, wrote a 400-word comment comparing Disney Plus, Netflix, BBC and Big Finish, and then deleted it. His conclusion was that Netflix won't. They'd never see a return on it. That's a strong point. If the fans want someone to take up the Torchwood mantle, they're better off asking Amazon Prime. I'm not sure on the particular angle of the difference between the two there, but I can see his point. I think overall, though, the rumour, suggestion, desire for Torchwood to be produced by Netflix or Amazon Prime or whoever overlooks one key issue, and that is that Big Finish has brought Torchwood back successfully, much as they did with Blake 7. Now, a couple of other things I want to get through. First of all, Andrew Karma once appeared on the podcast with a K, and we chatted with him, and his book, Script Doctor, a memoir, the inside story of Doctor Who's 1986 to 1989 period of Doctor Who, with a foreword by Sylvester McCoy, is set to be reissued. It's a limited reprint run with a new cover and interior photos published by 10 Acre Films. It's previously been published as a hardcover in 2014 and a paperback in 2019 by Milk. That's worth keeping an eye on because it's a fascinating story. Elsewhere, Big Finish are making headlines in the Doctor Who world, as they ever do. There's a lot of big stuff going on from Big Finish, appropriately enough. Mark Bonner is returning as the 11 for the Sixth Doctor Adventures. The Sixth Doctor Adventures V11 is released in September this year, so that's worth looking out for. Perhaps my favourite of all of these is the announcement of enhanced audiobooks from Big Finish. So this is kind of Doctor Who, the audio novels, and it kicks off with Scourge of the Cybermen. The idea behind this range is quite simple. As producer David Richardson said, I grew up reading the Doctor Who Target novelizations. They were, and remain to this day, very close to my heart. And it occurred to me, what if we were to do audiobooks of brand new adventures that are authentic in every way to the era? Scourge of the Cybermen is written by Simon Gurrier and kicks off the Doctor Who audio novels range. The six-hour epic tells this terrifying story of the Third Doctor and Sarah Jane Smith as they battle the cybernetic monstrosities on a future off-world sea base. And it's read by John Culshaw. There's quite a bit of potential for the audio novels range, so really hope that it gets picked up and by the audience and embraced, because that's that has considerable potential. So, Gareth Kavanagh, occasional, quasi-regular on the podcast with a K. He has been very busy during late 2020 and very early 2021. With Cutaway Comics. I'm just going to hit play now, bring this in, and let you listen to Gareth and I discuss Cutaway Comics, Eldrad, Omega, possibly even Brian Blessed.
Now, I was reading through SFX magazine a couple of days ago, and I stumbled upon the name. It said Gareth Kavanagh. So to find out why he's in SFX magazine, I've got him on the phone. Gareth, how are you?
Hello. Hello. Yes, I'm okay. You know, it's only the 820th of January. feels like it's gone on forever, doesn't it? But yes, I'm okay. I'm thankfully, you know, keeping busy. Lots of plates, lots of projects, including the project that we're in SFX, which is lovely.
Yes. The headline, this will just help me summarise this very quickly. The Omega Man, Mark Griffiths and John Ridgway are bringing back Time Lord Satan Omega in a new comic series from Cutaway Comics.
That's right. And yeah, issue one is out now. So Cutaway Comics is a line of spin-off comics from the Doctor Who world. So it sort of is Doctor Who, but it's not Doctor Who for the lawyers listening. Doctor Who is kind of unique in the original run in that, you know, virtually all of the characters that were created for a particular story, generally speaking, belong to that writer. So obviously the BBC own the Doctor, the Companions, the TARDIS, Gallifrey, anything that was created by the staffers who were on staff for the BBC is theirs. But that leaves a lot of things that isn't. And obviously Omega was the villain created, the supervillain, probably Doctor Who's first supervillain, created for the Three Doctors by Bob Baker. And he is the focus of our first set of spin-off comics about him called Omega.
Now, that alone is a great idea, but it's not the first one that you've done, is it?
No, that's true. We've already two issues into Lytton, which was a sort of mercenary character from 1980s Doctor Who, created by Eric Saward. Great character, sort of proper hard-as-nails gangster soldier of fortune, played by Morris Colburn, who was in Resurrection of the Daleks, and then was so popular they brought him back for Attack of the Cybermen. So, yeah, that was the very first one we did, and that's a project that's been sort of knocking round as an idea that I had for several years, and then I approached Eric at an event, and then we did a deal, and then we got the scripts, and then we finally got art done, and it's a long, long, long process. Is comics? It's got more in common with film because it just seems to take forever. But that's out now, and that's Lytton in London gangland Soho in the 1970s. So that seems to have been well received, and we'd always envisaged three comics as this sort of first wave where we just try different things out. So the first was Lytton, the second was Omega, which is out now. And the third is Paradise Towers from the Sylvester McCoy story. So it's a sort of sequel 25 years after the Doctor and Mel leave. What happened to Paradise Towers? What happened to the people there? So that's going to be out in the summer, and the Kickstarter is going to be out in April. So we're having a lot of fun with that, must be said. It's a great, great, great fun story, that one.
And, I mean, what's the reaction been? Because you used crowdfunding to back this, didn't you?
Yes, completely by accident. I've got to say, I'm always one to put my hands up and use that great Doctor Who word serendipity, which of course we all know means happy accident. And Kickstarter came about. I mean, it was back in last July when I knew we had a big feature coming in Doctor Who magazine, and we were gearing up to publish the first issue of Lytton in sort of August, September. And I was working on getting a big website ready, so big web shop and information. And God, I don't have to tell you, websites are big, complicated things that take a long time to get going. And I knew I had to have the website ready for when DWM was out. In fact, probably 2 days before DWM was out, because subscriber copies have this irritating habit of arriving early. And I thought, well, I really need a website for people to look at this, or we're toast, because they'll read it and go, oh, that's interesting. If they like the idea, they'll click online and then, oh, I'll buy that. But if they can't do that, then you're depending on them to remember. And so we worked towards getting this ready. And then my webmaster turned around a week out and said, oh yeah, that website, sorry, it's not going to be ready in time. We've hit a hitch with the e-payments. And I thought, oh, bugger. So rather than sort of cobble it together, I thought, maybe Kickstarter might do the trick. And I literally looked at it as a shop window. And I thought, well, that's an extra shop window. And then I was talking to another couple of people. I saw a piece by John Freeman on Kickstarter on LinkedIn. And he was talking about the experience of a comic publisher who was saying, because there's no events and comic cons, they can't actually meet their clients and their customers anymore. So they were going, Kickstarter's good way to sort of get the word out about a project and sort of let people interact with you. And I thought, yeah, you know, that's a good idea. I can see that. So it was building. And then the final one was, there was an artist we were working with, one of the comic artists, on Lytton's covers. And he said, well, and surely you're doing Kickstarter. And I went, well, no. And he went, idiot. And he called me an idiot about three times. Idiot. Why aren't you doing Kickstarter? And I said, well, we don't need it. You know, he said, well, you know, God, you don't understand this, do you? He said there is, and he's true, and I know this now. He said, there is a whole range of customers on Kickstarter who you would never reach, who will never know about the project you're doing, who are now looking for indie comics to back. and they will happily back new projects that they like the look of. And he said, you've got a great project, you should do it. So so all of that kind of added up, and I sort of, over the space of about 3 days, put together a Kickstarter, thinking, oh, well, we might sell a couple of extra copies and it's an extra shop window. And blow me, we did rather well. And it completely turned on its head all of my thinking about comics and how we get these things out. And now, you know, the advice was quite right. I was an idiot. And I think I would have been an idiot not to do Kickstarter. And now a Kickstarter is built into every project we do now. So we took what we learned on Litter and we moved it on to Omega. And we did even better with Omega. And now we'll take what we learned on Omega and we'll move that on to Paradise Towers in April. And it's just an incredible platform. I can't recommend it enough for anyone who's looking to do a comic or audio, or it doesn't work for everything, but for things that people can have in their hands and buy, it really works. So totally lucky accident. So thank God that website wasn't ready, otherwise I wouldn't have kickstarted Litten, and you know, it would just be so much harder to get them projects out there.
I guess there's an element to the Omega. The Kickstarter element must have weighed heavily on being able to pull that off.
Well, yes and no. I mean, John Ridgway was commissioned and started in April, May, and was beavering away at 3 pages a week. So by the time we got round to doing this, I think 3.5 of the issues are already paid for. But it does give you a sense of what's possible. So you launch it, you go, here's our project, and we had a lot of good hooks. So we had, you know, great villain in Omega. We had an interesting setup because he's on Minyos. He's in the dying days of Minyos, which is from Underworld, which is also in Doctor Who Legend, because the Time Lords appeared and were worshipped as gods and kind of quite liked it and meddled and interfered with the world and buggered it up. So it's quite a Vietnam thing, and they kind of flee in disgrace. And everything goes a bit wibbly after that. So I knew we had good hooks, and so we had top villain, good writer. We had John Ridgway back, an art legend who, you know, was one of the signature artists of Doctor Who in the 80s with Voyager. So I knew we had a good product. I'd added in a backup strip just so we could have a little play with the Mandrels and Eden, because I love Mandrels and Eden, as you all know. And I knew we had a good project, but what Kickstarter lets you do, because the way it's designed, is the whole thing is all about stretch goals. So depending on how high you get, you set goals where you unlock things. So it's like, you know, if we raise 10,000 quid, we'll unlock this item. If you raise 12,000 quid, which we did, you'll get an Eldrad comic. So it's a sequel to Hand of Fear. That's set like minutes after the Doctor and Sarah leave to go to Castria. This is what happens in that strange little nuclear power station that's left behind with Glyn Houston in charge. So Glyn Houston is now a comic star. I'm sure he'd be thrilled if he was still alive. So it lets us offer things that we wouldn't be able to offer. And the good thing is that, of course, if you don't make those targets for whatever reason, you don't offer them. But you need to be always offering exciting things so people have a reason to keep backing you, and it generates an excitement. So we did all that, and we did Eldrad, and that's obviously very exciting. And then I needed to come up with something that was that had a real sort of wow quality to it for the last week. And again, all this is happening in kind of real time over the 3 weeks you're running it, because you never quite know how you're going to get. And I thought, oh God, we actually are doing quite well. I think I need something quite good here. So I thought, well, we'll do an audio of Omega. And I thought, well, if we're going to do an audio adaptation of the Omega comic, we've got to have someone big for Omega. And I thought, it's got to be Brian Blessed. Now, I didn't come to that immediately. I mean, I did my research and I thought, Brian Blessed, yeah, why not? And I did a little search on Twitter, which is always quite useful. You know, I mean, I know there's a lot of sort of strange people out on Twitter, and horrible people and nasty people and angry people. But there's also lots of, you know, that's about 3%. And the rest of it are people just you know, shooting the breeze. And I typed in Brian Blessed Omega, and he was a pretty regular suggestion. People said, oh my God, wouldn't Brian Blessed be amazing as Omega? Oh, we need Brian Blessed as Omega. Yeah, yeah, Brian Blessed as Omega. So I thought, okay, it's kind of out there. We just need to get him. And I noticed that he'd done The Wicker Man as an audio last year for a small company in Canada. It says he's playing Lord Summerisle. And I remember thinking, yeah, bloody good casting that. Great yeah. cast. And I thought, well, okay, well, that tells me that Brian is interested in interesting projects, that he'll work with indies. And, you know, maybe the Time Lord Satan, for want of a better word, will appeal to him. And, you know, it turned out it did. We opened a channel to his agent, and within a week we had a deal. He'd seen the script. He said, I like what I see. Let's do the deal. And then it turns out that, you know, I'd done all this big sell to him. And Brian is an enormous Doctor Who fan. And I didn't realize this. You kind of think, oh, well, he's been in Doctor Who and obviously he likes Flash Gordon. But then I turned up a feature. There's like a really interesting little feature with Brian on the season 23 Blu-ray, where he talks about Doctor Who, and you think, oh, well, that's going to be, you know, ooh, you know, I used to like Doctor Who. But no, he talks about every single Doctor in massive detail, in order. I mean, some he talks about how he met them and he knew them, you know, and it's a fun little conversation about how he wanted to chin Hartnell in the corridors of BBC Television Centre, and what a horrible, you know, miserable man he was. But he was able to talk about individual stories and characters over the entire run up to sort of David Tennant. So I thought, oh, bloody hell, well, he's a fan. I don't need to explain to him who Omega is and why he's important. He obviously knows. He's watched them all. And so it be. So that's something that we're recording in the summer. But that certainly helped. That put rocket boosters under us for the last week. And I guess that's bringing it full circle. That's where SFX picked up on the story that, you know, this little comic company from Manchester has got Brian Blessed to play, you know, the Satan of Doctor Who.
It's audacious. It's crackers. It's wonderful.
Well, I've learned that there is nothing wrong with asking. There's nothing wrong with asking. And if you ask in the right way at the right time and you're willing to show that you're professional and that you've done your best to make this a lovely experience for whoever this big person is. And at the moment, I think lots of these very talented people are literally sat at home.
Sure.
So the opportunity will never come again. So, you know, I've been telling people this is our version. You know that line at the end of Genesis of the Daleks where he goes, well, some things could be better with the Daleks. And even though this has been a completely horrible year, I also think that without this completely horrible year, the comics would never have happened. And we'd never have been able to be in a position to work with people like Brian Blessed, because they're normally just so busy.
It's exciting. I can't wait to hear it. I really, really, I mean, it's perfect. And many, many moons ago, when we first launched the podcast with Kate, when it was just myself and Brian, we used to do, we'd do a little bit of news and then we'd do something very silly. so we would have, in every episode, we'd have Gerald Slaveen farting in the background, handing us cups of tea and stuff. We would have the man who denies it. Yes. We'd have the man who denies Daleks can fly. And there was an interview with Omega as well, which is basically me doing a really good voice.
Yeah.
You know, I was more Brian Blessed than Stephen Thorne, to be honest. So, I mean, it makes perfect sense that it should be Brian Blessed.
I couldn't think of anyone else, and I know it sounds awful. Once I'd got that thought into my head, I couldn't think of anyone else who could do it. I mean, I know there are other people that could do it. But I couldn't think of anyone else who wouldn't be second best. So at that point, I mean, if Brian had said no, get stuffed, I guess we'd have probably found someone. And who knows, they might have been extraordinary, but they wouldn't have been Brian Blessed. So I count ourselves very blessed to have landed our big fish.
Yeah, definitely. It's fantastic. Did you ever see that mobile alarm app that he did?
No.
It's like an alarm bot iPhone. Yeah. He shouts, wakey, wakey! Oh, it's fantastic. You can. I think there's a trailer for it on YouTube that you can check out. I'm going to stick it in the show notes, along with everything else that we've talked about in this week's show. Yeah, it's fantastic. Oh, I love Brian Blessed so much.
He's such a treasure. And yeah, he absolutely adores Doctor Who. He loves Doctor Who. So we're in great hands. I mean, gosh, how do we top this one? I'm not quite sure, but we're thinking about it. We are definitely thinking about it.
Oh, well, I mean, I'm not going to ask you that because I don't want to press you on anything. Mm. But anyone interested in Omega and Lytton and Paradise Towers, you can go to cutawaycomics.co.uk for more details.
Yeah, that's good.
Big thanks, as ever, to Gareth. And no doubt we will get him back on the show in a more rounded capacity in the future for perhaps a commentary or discussion of some sort with James and Brian also involved. Now, we're very close to the end of this week's podcast with a K. There is something that I need to just reiterate. Please leave us your reviews on Apple Podcasts, as it is now called. Doing so lets other people find the show, and we think we've got a lot to offer still, even though we've been running since 2007. You can listen to that on YouTube. You'll also find it, which is a thing that I'm working on at the moment, a big project I have to ensure that all of the podcasts with a K from 2007 to this week and beyond are available on iTunes, what is now called Apple Podcasts. It turns out that there are quite a few missing, and quite a few of these are really good, and we've got interviews that we want to share and other things from the past, and it's been a bit of work reviving these, but there's uploading of files to www.casterbris.co.uk, adding the images in, making sure that the text is appropriate, doesn't feature any bad links to an old website that we used to have. You probably know what I'm talking about there. And overall, just making everything look nice, shiny, presentable. You will notice some changes on that site. I've already tarted things up a little bit. It looks really nice. I'm really pleased with the way that the podcast site looks now. Probably casterbris.co.uk probably looks the best that it has ever looked, and comparable with casterbris.com at its peak in terms of visual impact. If you were with us back then, you'll remember that orange was quite a feature of that site. Well, you know, I've brought that with us because I think it's an important element of the identity. Even though now we are a podcast rather than a news site and whatever else it was we were doing back then that we had time for and don't now. That is clearly a lineage which, rather than ignoring, as the current owners of casterbris.com have, we prefer to embrace. You'll also see other content appearing there over the coming months, but none of that will happen until all 370 episodes of Casterbris Doctor Who podcast with a K are available on Apple Podcasts. And you'll notice that we don't know how many episodes there are. This is one of the problems. This is one of the reasons I'm doing it, is there are over 350. That much we know. Beyond that, it gets a bit hazy. You know how the doctor doesn't know how old she is? Then it's like that. So particularly, you know, back in the classic era when the doctor was, you know, thousands of years old, 1 week, 753, the next, 953, 750, whatever, you know. How long was the doctor in the vortex for on his way between Spiridon and Earth in 1974 as he's regenerating? You know, the Virgin New Adventures decided that he was there for 50 years. You know, we might have 50 missing podcasts here. So that is one of the reasons, to make sure that the full portfolio, if you like, for once of a less pretentious word, of our podcast is available for you to listen to delve into. That's the aim of this project at the moment. So, yeah. Do leave your reviews to help everyone find the podcast as it is now. And, you know, people will dip in and find the older shows as they are resurfaced. If you leave a new review, we will read it out. And if you have any comments about things that are taking place that we share on Facebook, they generally also get read out. Until next time, it's goodbye from myself.